Zelensky writes directly to Putin for the first time since the full-scale invasion. The US House defies Republican leadership to pass Ukraine aid, and EU leaders head to Montenegro to test whether enlargement is real. This is Europa Daily. Two developments in the past 24 hours have shifted the diplomatic terrain around Ukraine. First, Volodymyr Zelensky published an open letter addressed directly to Vladimir Putin, the first he has publicly written to the Russian president since the full-scale invasion began in 2022. The letter is a sweeping criticism of Putin's 26 years in power, but its core proposal is concrete: a face-to-face meeting in a neutral third country. Zelensky says he is also ready for a full ceasefire. He argues that while Ukrainian resilience remains intact, most Russians have grown weary of the war and are ready for peace. Then in Washington, the US House passed the Ukraine Support Act and a package of direct loans, assistance, and sanctions on Russia, over opposition from Republican leaders. The vote underscores growing congressional frustration with President Trump's handling of the conflict. DW notes the House vote alone doesn't mean much for Kyiv in practical terms, but it signals a fracture in Washington that European governments will be watching closely. Meanwhile, Donald Trump said both sides have to make compromises. And threading through all of this, Sweden's minister Johan Forssell said Ukrainian men should be turned back from the EU to fight, arguing the war needs to be fought and won, and that it is essential more men stay in Ukraine. That comment lays bare how the war's manpower crisis is already a European migration and policy question, and one that divides governments sharply. To Montenegro now, where more than 30 leaders are expected to gather in the coastal resort of Tivat for a summit between the EU and six Western Balkan countries. Emmanuel Macron, Friedrich Merz, Giorgia Meloni, and Ursula von der Leyen are all due to attend. The focus: integrating Montenegro, Albania, and the four other candidate nations more deeply into the EU single market, paving the way, at least in theory, for eventual membership. European leaders want to show these countries they have a real chance of joining the bloc, though The Guardian notes persistent splits over how to handle enlargement of the 27-member EU. The summit's timing is notable. Albania, one of the six candidates at the table, is in its fourth straight day of protests over a proposed billion-dollar luxury resort backed by Jared Kushner. Albanians say the project will decimate a protected wildlife ecosystem. France 24 reports that false videos about the rallies are also going viral, with dated and out-of-context footage being misrepresented as the current demonstrations. It's a reminder that the domestic politics of enlargement candidates can be just as volatile as the negotiations themselves. In the Netherlands, police have arrested four men accused of drugging their own partners, filming the sexual assaults, and sharing the footage. DW reports the case is reminiscent of that of Gisèle Pelicot in France, the landmark trial that reshaped conversations about sexual violence and consent across Europe. Finally, a story about what happens when one government sets out to shape the information environment of a neighboring country. Writing for the European Press Prize Board, Slovakian journalist Beata Balogova details how Viktor Orban's government over 16 years poured millions of euros of public money into think tanks, institutions, and media outlets sympathetic to its illiberal views, not only inside Hungary, but beyond its borders. In Slovakia, where a sizable Hungarian minority lives, Budapest is alleged to have sent millions of euros to favored media organizations. Many independent newsrooms survived on only a fraction of what those outlets received. Balogova writes that these government-funded channels were never truly called media by Hungarian colleagues, nor their content producers called journalists. If Hungarians were asked to recall ever hearing from these outlets a piercing human story, an investigation exposing abuse of power, or a fact-based analysis that brought clarity to chaos, they would search their memory in vain. The piece frames public service journalism as a shield for democracy, but one whose survival requires an active decision to fight for it. That's Europa Daily. Back tomorrow, assuming the diplomats leave us something to talk about.